Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the important issues you face in life right now. That toll-free number, 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Guys, this is an exciting day for us. We're out in the San Francisco Bay Area, actually from the KDIA studios,
yes,
broadcasting
indeed.
Today. It's just a great time, isn't it?
Absolutely. Beautiful weather. We left ice and snow in North Texas when we came, yesterday?
Yesterday,
and it was just really, really wild winter weather for us,
if
you gauge it for us. But here in sunny Northern California, just a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yes,
beautiful.
Indeed. And we want to say thank you to Andy Santa Maria for his
gracious hospitality
and opening up this studio for us so that we could broadcast this program today.
Mm-hmm.
We're out here ahead of our conference that's starting tomorrow, March 7th at the Valley Church in Vacaville, California. Can't wait for that to happen. We have a good number of people that are registered to come and be with us tomorrow. Of course, there's room for more.
Sure.
We had a chance to meet Jeremy White, the pastor of Valley Church, this morning. I had dinner with him yesterday, and he's all pumped and excited about the event. Althea, who is coordinating things from this end, is just doing doing a fabulous job. So we're excited about tomorrow. I know, Richard, you're going to be sharing a little bit.
I am.
Tell our listeners what they can expect to hear.
You know that you blow it. Now what? I'm going to be covering forgiveness tomorrow and why it is so critically important. I mean, absolutely critically important to settle this issue once and for all, because if you haven't settled forgiveness, you're not ready for anything else that God has for you in Jesus Christ. And so this is going to be a fun conversation. We only have time for a few passages, but some of these passages are mind-blowing in their significance, and there they are in the Bible. And they're spread all through the New Testament. It's not just Paul or just John or that kind of thing. This is a core message in the New Covenant, and we're going to cover it. And if you've ever had any doubt about your status with God in terms of forgiveness, I hope to erase it tomorrow.
Hear it, believe it, live it.
Yes, indeed. You know, we've talked so much about the fact forgiveness is really the door into this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. And until you settle that issue, the door really remains closed.
Yeah.
You don't really understand the love of Christ. There's no way to abide in the love of Christ because you're still fearful of God's punishment. That's how big this issue is.
Yes.
So if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus, if you want to grow in grace, as the Bible encourages us to do, then forgiveness is the place to start. And as you said, you're going to bring people to a point of settling that issue once and for all. And it is the most powerful transformation that can take place. It's explosive as far as the Christian life is concerned. And then from there, we're going to get into some of the practical day-to-day, okay, now that we know that we're forgiven, now that we've settled that issue, how do we walk by faith? How do we abide in the risen Christ? And everything at that point really hinges on the resurrection. And how do we make the resurrection the central part of our everyday existence? I love what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2. It says, "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. When we respond to that good news of Jesus, we're raised from the dead spiritually. There's going to be a physical resurrection. We're going to get new bodies.
Yes.
But the first fruits of that are spiritual in nature. And now we can live by the powerful working of God through this resurrection act. That's how we live the Christian life. That's how it's really supposed to work. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And like I said, if we can grab hold of these simple truths, if we can settle the forgiveness issue, if we can learn what it means to abide in Christ, to walk by faith in the resurrected Jesus who lives inside of us, then all other issues that we encounter in life will start to take care of themselves.
Yes.
We struggle within marriage. You know, how do we treat our wives? How do wives treat their husbands? And boy, there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of headbutting. There's a lot of angst in that particular relationship. Now, walking by faith in Jesus Christ doesn't eliminate all of that tension, but it gives you a relaxed sense on how to handle those things, how to really allow the living Christ who's alive in you, who's alive in your mate, work the two of you together for good. It's powerful. It really, really is. Same with parenting, the same with just trying to live out the will of God on a day-to-day basis. All of it is wrapped up in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want you to come tomorrow, hear it, learn what it means to believe it, see what it looks like to live it out in day-to-day experience.
Yeah, we invite you to come a little bit early if you'd like. At 9 o'clock, we're going to kind of get together for a meet and greet. Say hello to those of you who haven't met each other, and we will have the opportunity, Richard, Bob, and I will have the opportunity to shake your hands and say hello to you and get acquainted with you as well. Then at 9:30, we'll do the official open and get started. So it's going to be a great time. We look forward to seeing you there. And if you have not yet registered, you can still do that online by going to basicgospel.net. Click the event tab, and you'll find the registration and information tab right there. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net, or you can still call and talk with our sweet operator, Billy, at 844-41-BASIC. That number, 844-41-BASIC. Now I'm going to give you another number. It's the regular call-in number. If you have a question you'd like to pose to Bob and Richard on this edition of Basic Gospel, go ahead and call right now. That toll-free number, of course, 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC.
Yes, we would certainly love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you are struggling with forgiveness, you're struggling with how to live the Christian life, what it's really supposed to look like, we would love to point you into the Word of God and give you some practical handles that will help you in your day-to-day walk with Christ Jesus. There might be a troublesome Bible passage that's catching you up. I mean, it's just holding you back from really letting go, abandoning yourself to this new life that you have in Christ. If that's the case, let's talk about it. Let's
sure.
clear up those issues. Let's put those troublesome passages in context and see what the Lord has to say to us. So we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. One of the things that we're going to talk about tomorrow, the really will be the overarching theme, is this new covenant
yes.
that we live in. So many of us still approach God with an old covenant mindset, and that's just natural. That's natural human thinking. Sin caused that in each and every one of us. So we're naturally fearful of God. We're naturally fearful of His punishment. That's just how we roll as human beings. That's why we need our minds renewed. That's why we need this gospel message. Well, we start to see all of the reasons why it's such a good news story when we examine the new covenant. So we're going to start right there. We're going to look at the new covenant. It's a covenant of life, not a covenant of death. That old covenant actually condemned us. It actually judged us. It actually brought us to the point of seeing our death in Christ. But this new covenant, it takes us into a whole new dimension. It's new life. It's life at the very get-go.
Yeah.
So that's where we're gonna start tomorrow, and all things will just fall right in place from there.
Absolutely. Well, right now, plenty of open lines, plenty of time remaining on the clock. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. And again, we welcome you. 844-32-BASIC is the number to call right now. 844-322-BASIC. Or 32-BASIC, I should say.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Rick, who's listening to us on our wonderful Washington, D.C. affiliate, WAVA. Hi, Rick. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I guess I'm going to call it Providence. I was waiting to get my hair cut, and I took a look at the passage in Matthew, I guess in all the Gospels, regarding the fig tree and Jesus' curse of it. And what perplexed me is that the tree was not the season for figs, and yet Jesus cursed the tree anyway for not bearing fruit, which seems like a contradiction. Can you elaborate or help to demystify that?
Well, Rick, I think we can. You know, one of the things that we see in the gospel accounts is this question that kind of flows through, a question that Jesus puts out there: will I find faith in Israel? And most of the stories where faith is really front and center, they happen with Samaritans, people outside of Israel. So there's this question, and I think within that story, the fig tree really represents Israel and the lack of faith that they have in the prophetic word, and the lack of faith that they have in seeing Jesus for who he really is.
Yes, if I recall some of the things I've studied about this fig tree incident, the fig tree looked like it was ready to bear fruit. Even though it wasn't the season to bear fruit, the fig tree looked, it was in full leaf, was fully developed from the outside. And Jesus went over to it and discovered there was nothing on the inside. That's why he talked about faith. I mean, what we tend to do is we paint a very pretty facade around ourselves, and we're living a lie. And the Spirit comes to us day after day after day and says, are you tired of lying? Would you be willing to come to me by faith and bear real fruit instead of this fake stuff? And so Jesus was using the fig tree as a picture of Israel's failings. They had all of this pretty behavior and no underlying belief. And
so go ahead, excuse me.
Well, he just desperately wanted to change that if he could. I mean, he was there to save us, to save them, and they didn't want to listen to him. And so this was one of his ways of explaining to the disciples that it's not what's on the outside that matters, it's what's on the inside.
So then what Jesus was after then, if I understand your explanation, the tree itself represented Israel. And as I heard you say a moment ago, faith has been demonstrated by all but, I guess, the Jewish nation. And much like the fig tree, there was window dressing, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's
a natural thing for all of us. Right.
Yes.
What we tend
yes.
to do is to try to dress ourselves up and look as best we can. And what we don't realize is that we're just lying to ourselves and everyone else. And the Spirit's job is to bring truth into the situation and set us free.
I see. Okay. So my last question then, because the tree itself, in one account it withered instantly, in another account it withered overnight, but in either case, mm-hmm. There was no chance at saving itself. Did that demonstrate the Lord's lack or loss of patience? We know he's a patient God. Had his patience run its course then?
No, well, his patience will run its course in one of two places, either when I die or when Jesus returns, right? Because when I die, I have no more choices. When Jesus returns, I have no more choices. So in that sense, there is a or else part of this belief system. But his patience with us is infinite. As long as we draw breath, we can accept Jesus. And as long as Israel, I mean, remember, he has picked Israel. He blessed Israel. He continues to bless Israel. All he wants is for them to respond to him.
Yeah.
It's not about killing people. It's about saving people.
Yeah, and for right now, Israel, there's what's known as a temporary hardening as mm-hmm. far as the leadership is concerned, and we're in the age of the Gentiles, so there's lots of fruit taking place in the Gentile world. but there's a remnant of the nation of Israel that's being chosen by grace. And then there's going to be a point in time where God circles back to Israel and they are ready to receive the mercy that he brought in Jesus at Jesus's first appearing. So God has a master plan, and he is faithfully executing that, and we can count that he will continue to do so. And that's why Paul wrote Romans 9, 10, and 11.
Yes.
It really examines that plan in detail. So, Rick, hope that helps.
It did, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I guess as long as the unpardonable sin, which, if my understanding is correct, is the denial of Jesus, is not committed, then the patience that you described is inexhaustible.
You got it.
Okay.
Because God's inexhaustible.
Yes.
And
okay.
So his supply of patience, which is one aspect of his love. Love is patient. We read that in 1 Corinthians. So that's an inexhaustible supply of patience that God has for each and every one of us. And I think we need to bring that down to ourselves.
Yes.
The fact that God was patient with us. I mean, we went through rebellion. We went through all sorts of things. And God worked his patience in such a way that enabled us to come to that point where we could see our real need and turn to Christ for faith.
It'd be nice if we could demonstrate that same patience, but I can't speak for others. But at least at this point, it's beyond me. I try, but I also
Well, that's
know
why you need to abide in the Lord.
Yes.
Let his inexhaustible source work its way through you into the lives of others.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Rick.
Thanks,
you as
Rick.
Well.
Yeah. And plenty of open lines. Still time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you on this edition. Give us a call, 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-2742. That's the phone number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Jeffersonville, Indiana, and talk with Joshua, listening to us on WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Joshua. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is, I went to a Pentecostal church most of my life, Holiness Pentecostal, and they preach that after you get saved, it's after you get saved that you receive the Holy Ghost. They believe you need to tarry and you need to wait until it comes upon you. And I hear a lot of preachers and people nowadays saying you get it when you get saved. Well, I just want to know your opinion on that, the facts about that. Do you get it when you're saved, or is it like a gift that's given to you afterwards?
Well, Joshua, I think it's given to you that moment of salvation. In the book of Acts, we see kind of the unfolding of this story of some of the prophecies that were discussed. We see those being fulfilled. And the way it worked was this. Jesus died. He finished his work. Right before he died, he said, "It is finished." So he had completed the task that God had given him to complete. He took away the sins of the world. His body was lifted down off that cross. It was placed into a borrowed tomb. He was buried. The third day, he was raised back to life. And for 40 days, he made appearances on this planet to various people. As Paul wrote, almost 500 people he appeared to during that 40-day term that he was here on earth in his resurrected state. After 40 days, he ascended into heaven. Before he ascended, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, to wait in that upper room. Wait for the gift of God's Spirit. They did so. Well, when Jesus ascended, the Father gave him the gift of the Holy Spirit, and on that day of Pentecost, he gave that gift first to the Jews. So Peter stood, he gave a sermon about Jesus, the fact that this Jesus, whom was crucified, has been raised back to life, and through faith in him, you will receive the gift of God's Spirit. So 3,000 people were added to the church. They were Jewish people, and they received the gift of God's Spirit. Well, then the gospel spread from Jerusalem outside of that city and went first to Samaria. And we see that in Acts chapter 8. Peter and John went to verify that the message had been proclaimed to the Samaritans. And when they went, they laid hands on the people and said, "Receive the gift of God's Spirit." Well, then Jesus Christ poured out the gift of God's Spirit on the Samaritans. And then in Acts 10, we see Peter going to Cornelius's house and offering the Gentiles the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he was speaking, the gift of God's Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. So Peter had been given the keys to the kingdom, and he unlocked the kingdom to those three people groups, the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles. And once that happened, any person who received Christ after those events immediately received the gift of God's Spirit. And that's the way it's been going for 2,000 years. So Joshua, the minute you receive Jesus, you receive the gift of God's Spirit. That's just the way it works. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8, it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." So basically what Paul is saying here, Joshua, is that you cannot be a Christian if you do not have the Spirit of God living inside of you. But then he says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So you can't, you don't receive Jesus one day and then receive the gift of God's Spirit at another time. We want to make things spectacular. But God wants it supernatural, and we experience the supernatural through new birth. We receive the gift of God's Spirit. At that point, we're added to the body of Christ. We're placed or baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. All of that takes place at the moment of salvation.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Joshua. You hang on. We'll send you some information that will point you to some other passages that will help you, okay?
Okay.
You hang on.
Friends, a reminder that if Basic Gospel has or is making a difference in your life, we ask you to join with us by supporting the work of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. You know, someone gave so that you could hear the liberating truth of the gospel, so we ask you to join up with us now to keep the good news coming on the air and online. You'll find a support link at our website. That's basicgospel.net. basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-41-BASIC. That number, 844-41-BASIC. And we thank you for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel. Just about time for us to talk about the conference one more time.
One more time. We've got plenty of room for you to come and join with us tomorrow at the Valley Church in Vacaville, California. It's going to be a great event. A lot of the questions that you hear on this broadcast, if you've had those questions, they'll be answered for you. Maybe not in a very formal way, but as we just go over passage after passage after passage of Scripture, you'll get the answer. You'll see, I see what this gospel message is all about and how it answers that particular question. We want you to come be a part of it. We would love to meet you face to face, hear a little bit of your life, your story. So come and join us. All the information on how to register, be a part of the Hear It, Believe It, Live It tour is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the events tab right at the top of the homepage, and you'll see all the information on how to register. Come join us tomorrow. We'd love to see you.
We want to extend our genuine appreciation to our great Northern California affiliates, KFIA in Sacramento and KDIA, in whose studios we broadcast today. Thanks to Andy Santamaria, a longtime friend of us personally in the ministry, and so our sincere thanks to Andy and to his staff for hosting us today for this broadcast of Basic Gospel. And thank you for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.